Hey, and welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football news, football scores,
football bobbleheads.
You think we'll get three of us, the Kiss the Crest?
That'd be pretty awesome, actually.
That would be awesome.
Can you do that? You could probably do that.
No, there's probably a service somewhere. Let's do it. If any of our followers want to send us some. This is the week of January 17th. As usual, I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Dave Linnott.
I'm Rob Steller.
And this week, we're going to start with the scores. We have a bunch of scores again. Now, one thing, the Bundesliga has not started up. It actually starts up this weekend.
They stopped. They're done. They're like, well, it's already over. Why? We shouldn't even play the second half of the season.
So we're going to go through the Premier League, Serie A, La Liga, and possibly the French League?
Maybe.
And also some cup games that also happened during this period. And then we're going to move over to our topic, which is more difficult to win? A league title or the Champions League or some equivalent, say Europa League, whatever. And let's assume in this case that the league title is for a fairly competitive league. So let's get into it.
All right, so I'll do a quick rundown of the French league.
Big changes.
Oh, yeah. Tons of changes. No, this past week, PSG ended up getting a win again. So PSG still remains undefeated.
Yep,
they are
draws.
18-3-0. So it's I think, one of the only teams, if not the only team in probably any
in the
league.
Major leagues, I think it's the only.
I'm wondering, like, any league. Is there any undefeated
teams? That might be possible.
But, yeah, so they're undefeated. Monaco is actually in second, which they actually started pretty far down in the table, and they've worked their way up to second. So, you know, you would normally think PSG first, Monaco second, that there would be, you know, some sort of even remote chance Monaco could fight for it. 21-point difference.
And wait, just to put this in perspective. So Monaco is in second place on 36 points. And actually, the rest of the league is fairly competitive, but the 19th place team is on 20 points. So there's 16-point difference between second and 19th and a 21-point difference between second and first. Yeah, and I don't even know why. That's the wild. Last place team has 8 points. So they're 12 points behind 19th.
Yeah.
That's it's crazy. Ridiculous. And even to put this lead into even more context, Monaco second place, their goal difference admittedly is pretty low actually, but their goal difference is 4. Paris Saint-Germain's is 42. They're more than 10 times greater goal difference.
PSG's allowed 9 goals in 21 games.
That's insane.
I will say, though, way, like we say, it's still...
This is why we shouldn't have given up Thiago Silva.
It may not be that difficult for them to win the league, but to win it so convincingly, that's not easy for
them. They may do the Invincibles.
Yeah, they could, because look at this. I mean, who's going to catch them? I mean, granted, this weekend was a 1-0 victory, but I mean, this is insane. Yeah,
it's already, past halfway, right? And they have not lost a game yet.
Yeah.
They're at 21
games. I mean, the league is pretty much over at this point. The thing that really is interesting is that Marseille's in eighth. Monaco was pretty, you know, middle table down by the bottom earlier. Lille, who's usually up there as well. Lille's in 14th place right now. But I would say it's kind of interesting because this is pretty crazy. Lille's in 14th place. They've scored 16 goals. They've only allowed 15.
Wow. Jeez.
That's insane.
And the last place team has scored 13 and allowed 43. So, jeez.
They're basically just all 1-0, 0-0 games.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, they have 10 draws, so that's not very good.
Yeah.
But that's still pretty crazy. In 21 games, they have 16 goals and have only allowed 15. That's kind of crazy. But yeah, that's pretty much all to talk about in France, you know.
All right, so let's move to Italy. So Italy, the most competitive league in the world. Again, crazy every week, man. It was a big week for Napoli and a big week for Juve. Spoiler alert. So Atalanta was able to hold Inter to a 1-1 draw, both on own goals, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so big, another slip up for Inter. Torino, 4-2 win over Frosinone. Napoli, 3-1 win over Sassuolo. So a big win for them as they continue to move up the table and into first now.
You seem unusually excited to talk about the results this weekend.
Genoa 4-0 over Palermo. Oh, yeah. Roma was held to Hellas Verona 1-1. Pazzini penalty in the 61st.
Spalletti, I don't know.
Yeah, Spalletti, man. Not a good start. Not a good start for his comeback season. Bologna was able to hold Lazio 2-2. It was actually two late Lazio goals, 71st and 76th, to cancel out Bologna's early 2-0 lead. So another big team slipping up points. Juve with a big win, 4-0 over Udinese. Empoli 1-1, Chievo Verona. Carpi with a surprising win over Sampdoria, 2-1. And finally, we have AC Milan. AC
Lost
Milan, yeah. We played Fiorentina, which is a team we have struggled against in the last few years. I think we've only beaten them once, something like that. So we actually got a good 2-0 win over them over the weekend. Carlos Bacca with a ball in from Bonaventura, I believe it was, in the fourth minute to open the scoring. It was a good start at home. And then Kevin Prince-Boateng is back.
Kevin Prince.
With a fantastic goal.
Still, that's
fantastic
a great way to
goal
start.
In the 88th minute to put it away. It's good to have him. He's honestly, it's one of those signings that we've had in midseason where it just, they come in, they have to prove themselves. Prince-Boateng obviously hasn't played in like a year. So he has a lot to prove that he's still fit. He still has skills, comes on tons of energy. I think it's his second substitution appearance, but tons of energy when it came on, was chasing the ball down, getting it back, distributing it. Very good performance from him. And then finally this week, we had a late game on Wednesday, Sassuolo 1-1 to Torino. So what that does to the table, Napoli is in first with 44 points. Juve only 2 points back in second place. Inter slips down to third on 40 points. Fiorentina down to fourth with 38. Roma with 35. Milan with 32, just outside of Europe. But every time I seem to get my hopes up, they're going to do something stupid, like lose to Empoli this weekend. So
probable.
Lazio is down to ninth. That's the other big story here. We have one big game, I think, coming up this weekend on Sunday. Juve plays Roma, so that's going to be a big game to look out for. Spalletti obviously has a lot to prove as he goes away to Juve, which is always a tough place to get results at. We also had a couple of Italia games this week. After Milan had beat Carpi 2-1 on the same side, it was second division Spezia losing to third division Alessandria 2-1, which means Milan has to play them over two rounds. And if they cannot get to the finals, everybody's fired. Get rid of the whole team.
But the weird thing is, you know, whenever you play such crappy teams, there's always the question of, are we going to play all our crappy players, which makes you vulnerable to a loss.
Right. And still considering that, you know, we have a very outside chance that if we happen to put a good streak together, which we have not done in 2 years, but if we could put a streak together, we could possibly shoot for that low Champions League spot, since other teams are slipping up. So that's going to be a big question. It'll be interesting to see which players end up playing. On the other side of the quarterfinal bracket, Lazio, which was all the good teams, Lazio losing to Juve 1-0, Inter topping Napoli 2-0. So that means it's going to be Juve versus Inter in the semifinals, and Alessandria and Milan on the other side. It's over two legs, and then that gets to the finals. So it looks like Milan might have a chance to win some trophies, but they still have to win the final. So
wait, so what happens if you win the Coppa Italia? Does that put you in any
Champions League? Get right into Champions League.
No. I think you get into Europa League. So we actually may have a shot, but honestly, though, we're only three points out of Europa League now. Like, we should be getting this.
Getting it
the Carlin Cup, Rob. You're getting the Carlin Cup.
Yeah, you know, like, I would say, though,
just fly to England for a game every once in a while.
I think it's the Capital One Cup, so it doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things about silverware. I mean, granted, considering the team that Milan is, Coppa Italia isn't that big of a deal, but I think right now the place you're at, Coppa Italia,
trophies, man.
Yeah,
we haven't won the cup since like 2003 or something. I don't know, or six. I don't know. It's been like over 10 years since I think.
Well,
we
it's
won
also
Coppa
a weird
Italia.
Position because there's always a question of, do you play players in the league? Do you play them for the cups? How does that work? Yeah. And let's be honest, usually Milan's you know, fighting for the Scudetto, not
maybe it'll
Europa,
draw.
So,
it might draw like, in like Neymar different. Or Suarez or Messi. You never know.
Maybe if they institute a draft, imagine. You guys will get some.
You're so funny, Sean. You're
no, but
so
you know
funny.
What I mean, though. I think it'll be good. It's good fortune. I mean, they have to go for it. It'll still be tough, no matter what. Whoever comes out on the other
who's
side is going to be
yeah,
tough.
Who's on the other side?
Juve, Roma, Lazio.
Oh, yeah.
Although,
well, no, not anymore.
Oh, because they lost. Yeah, but there were Napoli, Inter Milan, Lazio.
Yeah,
Juve.
Okay. Yeah. So it's going to be a good team.
Yeah. So regardless, though, it's fine because getting to the finals is a confidence booster,
yeah.
And that's what we need. And honestly, just getting wins under our belt and stringing wins together is going to be a good thing for us. So. Yeah, clearly you can tell I have more energy than I usually do on this show.
Hey, it's a big win over
Fiorentina. We have Empoli this weekend. They're only a point behind us, so if we lose to them, we'll go down another rank. So, yeah,
and,
all to play for.
Sad news for Serie A, but good news for La Liga, I guess. So I don't know if any of you guys, if you're from America, you might follow Giuseppe Rossi because he's New Jersey born. I feel like a lot of people have talked about him.
Yep.
He's gone through a lot of injuries, and he hasn't played for Fiorentina, so apparently he's going back to Spain, to Villarreal.
He should have chose the U.S.
I know.
We should definitely go to Spain.
God's like, you didn't choose the U.S. You're born in America. I'm going to make sure your career goes to shambles.
No, he's talking about the national team. It's tough. I mean, honestly, yeah. In the form he was when he chose, I think he would have gotten into the
He actually might be joining Levante.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
It's on like loan yeah. or something. It's yeah. weird. It's like he's gonna go to Levante,
really
then
poorly.
Villarreal. Yeah. It's just like it's freaking weird.
I mean, I think the Yellow Submarine would take him back. Honestly, he did so well. It was really that injury. It sucks how injury can really kill players. Like even I mean, this is such a random.
Yeah, he was very promising too, and he's you know played. He chose to play for the Italian national team, and he was again one of the up and comers that. You know, injury just held him back. He might as well have been a Milan player.
But, yeah, it's, I mean, bittersweet, I guess, for Villarreal fans. You get your player back. But at the same time, I mean, he came to Fiorentina to play.
I don't know if he's going to Villarreal, though.
Yeah, and that's assuming he goes to Villarreal. Like, if he goes to Levante, I'm pretty sure they're in the drop zone. But I guess we'll move over to Spain. So there are a few cup games and league games that happened. So I guess I'll start with the league. Barcelona, well, I guess we'll start with Real Madrid. So this is the second game under Zinedine Zidane. And it was against Sporting Gijon, which is not a very good team. So you kind of expected a win, but it was a very good win. They ended up winning 5-1.
Is this the second game they scored five?
Last game they scored five.
So clearly it's a very different coaching mentality and go out and just score buckets of goals instead of defending. Like, just don't defend.
No,
just
completely.
Forget defending and just all attack.
I think the two problems with defending is not only is it not like Real Madrid style, it's not these players' style either. I mean, you have all attacking players. Ronaldo, Benzema, Bale, Cruz, Modric, you know, James. None of these guys are defenders at all. So with Zidane and, you know, Ronaldo came out and said, while they weren't anti-Benitez, which is probably BS, they said they respect or they connect with Zidane more, which totally makes sense. I mean, Zidane is a god in the world of football, not to mention at Real Madrid. So far it's looking good for them. They also played really well. The only really big problem is that Bale went out injured and Benzema went out injured. So those are pretty big injury blows. Honestly, right now, it may not be huge for them. I mean, they still have other players that can pull up. James hasn't been starting, so you know if he comes in, they have Isco, things like that. They could probably fill in, and admittedly, the two teams they played aren't that great. Although Depor, who they played last week, is pretty decent defensively, but Sporting Gijon is just not a great team. So getting the five goals is what they need to do, but it's I think building confidence, and I think the crowd is getting behind them more. They're seeing what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it is a little sad for Bale, who was he was doing really well. He was showing his true colors. He got a hat trick, and he was really doing well. And now to get an injury, he's going to be out for 6 weeks.
Oh wow!
So that's not like everyday injury. Now putting 6 weeks, El Clasico is in April, so he should still be back for that, and he might get a few games under his belt for that. Mm-hmm. I think it should be fine. So
seems to be a recurring theme for the Clasico is that some big player's out and that comes back on that game.
Well, let's just hope he doesn't do well when he comes back. Yeah. Although it'll be at home for us. But anyway, whatever. We'll start the countdown now on Kiss the Crest.
Might as well. I think they've got 100 days or something on the TV, right?
Oh, my God. That would be crazy. So, you know, Real Madrid had a pretty good 5-1 victory. So Barcelona had to up it by doing 6-0.
Yeah.
Admittedly, there was a red card pretty early on. It was a valid red card. Basically, the keeper came out, took out Messi. I mean, it was...
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
But they're like, well, there's only one way we're winning this game.
With a red or not, we're taking Messi out.
You know, it's so funny, though. You guys joke about that. That happens a lot, where they just know... Same thing with Ronaldo. They're like, I know if this guy beats me, it's going to be a goal. So they just kick their legs. Yeah. Even if it goes for a foul, even if it goes for a red... a yellow, what else are you going to do? But anyway, it was a red card early on, so you knew what was going to happen. It was a boatload of goals. Suarez got a hat trick. Neymar... I think Neymar scored the penalty, and there were just goals all around. I mean, it was a fairly easy game, especially when you're down to 10 men after, what was it?
Yeah, against 15 Barcelona.
Minutes or something like that. Yeah, it's not going to happen any other way. So that was a good win for us. It was more like a training match at the end of the day. Atleti had a good number of goals, too. They actually won 3-0. I think Griezmann had... I think he had 2. So he's keeping up his goal scoring record. Basically, so the top three are holding their own. And Atleti is still on top because we have a game in hand.
No, they've only given up 8 goals this season.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's a very Atletico season where they're not, but this year, though, they're not scoring as many as I would think they would. But still, I mean, if you can keep that defensive record, that's. What?
They don't need to if they're, they're not giving up goals.
If they can do that, it's crazy. And then, you know, as you go further down the table, you see Villarreal, Celta de Vigo. Sevilla's coming back up. They were in the bottom 5, I think, at one point, but now they're creeping back up. So you're seeing a lot of teams do different things. I think one other thing to see that's kind of interesting is actually looking at the goal scoring record. Now, every year since Ronaldo came in, it was always either Messi or Ronaldo for the Pichichi. It was always.
The Pichichi.
Right now, Suarez is in first with 18 goals. Benzema has 16. He's tied with Ronaldo and Neymar. All of them are on 16. Bale has 13. Messi only has 10, but admittedly, he was out for injury, so he'll probably come back up. I mean, you're looking at 5 or 6 players all within... a couple goal distance of each other. So who knows who will actually win it. But it's interesting to see. I mean, it's all Barca and Real Madrid.
The top 5 players, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, it's interesting. Ronaldo not scoring as many goals as you expect and Messi being out. And honestly, he hasn't been scoring a ton either. You kind of see how goals get spread out. But, I mean, really it's been as usual as you expected. Then for the Spanish Cup, Barcelona played Espanyol, who they actually drew to in the league, but they ended up winning, I think it was 6-1 on aggregate. One disappointing thing over the past couple games, Messi did come off injured over the weekend, which is a little disappointing to see, but apparently he's probably going to play he's probably going to play at the weekend. And I should make a correction. We didn't play Espanyol. We already beat Espanyol. We played Athletic Bilbao today, and we ended up winning 2-1, and Neymar was the only one playing out of the main 3 because Suarez was out with for match ban for last time saying some words to some other player. Nom, Messi.
Yeah, he was at the dentist that day. Getting new
getting
fangs.
Getting some work done. Messi broke a toenail, so he'll be out for another game.
You saw that we won our game today. Atletico Madrid actually played Celta Vigo, and they actually drew 0-0, so that was kind of unusual. And Real Madrid's still out. I don't think they're going to come back, so it's really up to these two.
They just come back for the final. Figured they would have made it there anyway. So.
With seeding, we're just going to put them at the end. One other interesting result, so Valencia drew 1-1. So for those who don't know, Gary Neville, I actually don't remember how this happened, but Gary Neville is running Valencia right now.
That's right.
He's the head coach. He did get 2 wins over Granada in the Spanish Cup, but in the league, he still hasn't won. It's a bunch of draws. Mm. And now, I mean, he draw the first leg of this. It's kind of unusual. So not great for Gary Neville's first start in the coaching realm. But at the end of the day, there are already tons of issues in that he doesn't know that much Spanish. I don't remember how he got this job.
Kick,
but...
score, goals.
Pelota and goal. But, yeah, I mean, apparently the players kind of like him, so that's good. Because I mean,
they can't say anything to him. They just do whatever they want. It's anarchy.
They just nod.
It's anarchy.
I think at the end of the day, I mean, most players
just talk tons of crap. Yeah, and then, yeah, like, they just giggle and laugh at him, and he just, like, laughs back.
Nevertheless, mierda. Yeah, but, you know, whatever. This is a bad start, but honestly, how long ago did he retire? I mean, he was a legend at Man U.
He's
it's always good to see
probably
a legend
five
player.
Years-ish.
So he's still kind of young, but anyway, this is actually a pretty big club to manage as your first club, but it's interesting to see, but not a great start for him, but hopefully he'll get some wins, and we'll see what happens. So let's move over to Premier League.
Every time I hear Neville, I think of Harry Potter. I don't know. I have no idea why. Just
bottom.
Neville is
really
just like...
Even the Nevilles that played for Man United.
Seriously.
Don't come first.
Well, that's Gary and Phil.
That's
I just whenever I see
like
hear their last
Gary
name
and Phil.
For some reason
like
Harry Potter
Gary
just
and Phil.
Comes around. Yeah, so Premier League this past weekend, a couple of games. I'd say some pretty good results for certain teams. Saturday, Tottenham beat Sunderland 4-1. Tottenham's been playing pretty well all season, drawing, getting points,
yep.
Not really losing that much. They usually win or draw, but
yep.
They had a good,
it's crazy
good showing.
Many times they draw.
Granted, Sunderland is one of the bottom teams.
Still,
but,
three losses all season. Yeah.
Bournemouth and Norwich, who I think one of them would probably be relegated. Just personally, Bournemouth got a 3-0 win
You're
over Norwich.
Big. Relegate them.
I
was,
think Norwich
that was
is
a big result.
Relegated.
That was a big
Norwich's
result.
Norwich's squad is just not Premier League ready right now.
Yeah, that was a big result for them.
Yeah, so Bournemouth. I mean, they should be winning
for
that
the cherries.
Game for them to stay up.
That's what they're called.
Yeah,
I didn't know. That.
City smoked Palace 4-0.
Yep.
Maguire seems to be back in a decent, you know, amount of form. I say that he probably got hurt in training.
I know. He's such like a but wait. Oh well, I guess you can keep saying that. We can talk about it.
Yeah, and then another big game, Chelsea Everton, which I'd say was probably going to be a good
crazy
game.
Match.
Yeah, 3-3 was the final, yeah. But a couple goals were questionable.
Late goals too, right?
Yeah.
Dude. Everton should have won.
John Terry, yeah, I got a little lucky there.
Offside.
Newcastle got a big win against West Ham, 2-1. So Newcastle's been
they're getting some wins.
Yeah,
only
they're not going to get
only in the relegation.
Yeah, they're not going to get relegated.
So that's
they've been making some buys. They got a good enough squad to stay up, so I think they'll stay.
I mean,
for
a club that size in terms of stature, I'm surprised. Yeah. Like, I don't see them dropping, but it's crazy.
Southampton got a good win. They've been haven't been playing that well, so they got a win 3-0 against West Brom. And then Leicester, Robbie's sleeper team, who thinks he's going to win the Premier. They're going to win the Premier League. But Aston Villa, who's in last, deepest league, Sean.
Yeah.
It was a 1-1 game.
And they came from behind.
Aston Villa got a late, yeah. Aston Villa got a second goal.
Unfortunate.
To tie it.
Yeah.
So Leicester dropping some points against the worst team wasn't very good. You go to Sunday's action.
Not a loss. They still only have two losses. They have the
that's
lowest
true.
Amount of losses.
Yeah, it's still.
But
yeah,
against Aston
not.
Villa, they can't draw.
Okay.
They got to win that.
Man United.
Well, we'll talk about what place they're in a second. So
probably one of the biggest matchups of the weekend was obviously the Liverpool-Man U game. That was Sunday, and Man U got a 1-0 victory
a
in
little
LVG.
Undeserving, but yeah,
typical
hey,
season
win win.
Fashion. Liverpool had better chances. Man U had very few, but
their
they
only
scored.
Shot on target was the one they scored.
Liverpool
yeah.
had like a dozen chances.
Yeah, granted, Man U usually doesn't hit the target ever. So,
but we'll talk about that. Yeah.
So yeah, 1-0 Man U, 0-0 draw for Arsenal Stoke.
Yeah,
so Arsenal
didn't matter for Leicester, did it?
Arsenal's chances, against Stoke. And granted, Stoke has been playing pretty well, but that definitely
really well. They're in
definitely
seven.
Helps. Leicester out in a big
well,
way.
Helps Manchester City out.
Well, okay.
Well, any of the top, you know, it's Arsenal, City, even Tottenham. You know, they got to win, and Arsenal dropped some points. Even Man U.
Yeah.
And then the last game Monday, Swansea got a 1-0 win over Watford.
Big result for them too.
Yeah, Swansea's been pretty brutal.
But that takes them out of the relegation zone for now.
Yeah, they don't think they'll get relegated.
So,
let's analyze some games here.
So first one I want to talk about is Man City, 4-0 victory. Or was it 4-1? Sorry,
4-0.
4-0.
what the heck? Man City is the most schizophrenic team. They either destroy you or they lose narrowly. Like, I feel like they can get these 4-0 victories all over the place, and then all of a sudden they won't score any. I mean, their goal difference, they're, even with the losses, not being in first.
I mean, it's Aguero.
Yeah, I guess it is. It must be just Aguero and, I guess, Silva, too.
Aguero
it's
had
crazy
two
how
goals
different
this game,
they are,
yeah.
Though. And you think about it, though, their attacking front. They still have De Bruyne. They still have Sterling, who is the darling of the transfer season.
Yeah.
They, I mean, yeah, Boney is Boney, but still, whatever, he's a player. It's crazy, though. I mean, they go – right now they still have the highest goal difference in the league, and that's – let's see, how many goals do they have? They also have the most goals for. They have 43
yeah,
they, goals.
They got, yeah, 43.
Interestingly enough, though, second place is Leicester City.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, right now Arsenal.
Oh, wait. And tied with Leicester City is Everton with 39 goals for. That's
well,
actually crazy.
It's interesting, though.
That.
But it's funny because you look at the top scorers, right? It's still Vardy and Lukaku with 15.
Yeah.
It's Gallo with 13, Mahrez with 13, and then Giroud with 12, Kane with 10, 12, sorry, and then Aguero with 10. So, I mean, it's not till 7 players down do you see a City player.
It's, but it's so weird. I mean, this City team, I mean, let's be honest, this, I'm pretty sure this is the final season for Pellegrini, but what, why can't they keep it up consistently? I would think.
Because Aguero gets injured.
I mean, this, but this has got to be the most talented team in the Premier League. I mean, right? I mean, who else?
Definitely the most expensive.
Yeah, and I would think maybe you could argue Chelsea to a degree, but they have, you know, Chelsea is Chelsea. So I would think they have the strongest team overall, and yet they could do these 4-0 victories, and then they do shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the table, Arsenal's in first, but they're tied with Leicester on goal differential.
So, that's, yeah, or, let's get into that.
Yeah, on points.
Does Arsenal want to win?
Leicester.
Stoke is a good team. We talked about it. Mark Hughes is turning. I mean, Stoke has been the perennial.
Yeah.
They don't get relegated, but they're like bottom 10, maybe get it creeping in top 10.
Yep.
They're in seventh, and they're doing pretty well, and they actually have good-looking football.
Yep.
This isn't. I feel like Stoke built their reputation on hard tackles. They always make that joke, you know, can you win at Stoke on a Tuesday? Tuesday on a rainy Tuesday
sure,
night.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's not about that. It's
go.
About attacking football. Their biggest players aren't big, like Shaqiri and Boyan and all of them. Like, they're not tall, strong players, but there's no Peter Crouch anymore. But then you look at Arsenal, it's like, I mean, Ozil has been doing really well. Granted, Sanchez is coming back this weekend, I understand. And I've been talking to their medical team, and reports are. But it's, I mean, Arsenal, this is when they could have gone top, and they didn't. Or you could argue this is when Leicester could have gone top because they had an easy game versus Aston Villa. But, I mean,
yeah,
it's a mix of this league being deep, but also nobody wanting to win the league. Because let's be honest, Aston Villa is not a good team. For any league, they're just really not good this year. I mean,
yeah, but
well,
I mean,
points.
They still have named players that are that
Brad
are
Guzan.
Still Brad Guzan. Yeah, American,
yeah,
Americans. That's why they're last. No, I mean, they still have some decent players. They got the Jordan Ayew player from France, who's decent.
Lescott's there now.
Yeah,
Micah
Lescott,
Richards.
Micah Richards. I mean, they're not like scrubs that normally you would see.
Sinclair
on a lot of these
is there
bottom
too.
Teams.
But they're still playing
like these
really
bottom
poorly.
Teams. Like normally you would see like maybe one, maybe two noticeable like names, and then the rest of the guys are just like, you know, random schmoes.
But there's always a question of like, is Lescott really that good, or did he just play temporarily on good teams and then he got sold off later? But either way,
deepest league, Sean.
I think Leicester should have pulled this win out, but whatever. They're still tied top of the league, so Arsenal's got to show. I mean, this is their season. They have to.
I mean, they're still 7 points in Champs League right now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Until they start one slide.
And then they're done.
Yeah.
I mean,
then they get relegated.
I mean, now that Sanchez is back, that'll be huge. But if you're relying on Giroud, I feel like this has been his best season by far, but I don't know how long he'll last.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, do you want to get into the United-Liverpool game?
Not really. I mean, it was a good result. I mean, good result.
Good result, bad performance.
Yeah, bad performance, good result. Not. That's pretty much what happens when Man U wins. It's like they squeak out a win that they didn't really play that good in, or the other team played better. But, I mean, it's points. I'll take it. Whatever.
But at the same time, yeah, Liverpool can't finish.
The thing that bothers me is they're not really improving. It feels like they're not improving.
I know.
Like, all season they've been doing the same stuff.
And it's
like,
just not. It's
they
not.
Rarely have one, like, really good game. And if they do, the next game's awful. It's like,
and it's not a team you like watching either.
Yeah, completely. I mean, honestly, the players aren't amazing, but I think it's more the coach. I think if you guys get a new coach, or when you get a new coach, I can't imagine LVG lasting past this season.
Yeah,
I don't think they'll fire him midseason unless he really tanks. But because I think,
I mean, where he is right now, I don't think. I think if he had continued the way the season started, they might have thought of getting rid of him. And again, we talked about this almost every week. It's availability, too. I mean, who are you going to get in at this time?
And what I keep reading is that Pep is pretty focused on City. I don't know, that's a big blow.
Because I don't expect Pep to come to Man U. I wouldn't rather see him go to City, but I can see him going to City because he's been given... I feel like he's been given these awesome squads. Yeah. So like, why would he choose a squad that's in a disaster versus City, who's stacked and they've pretty much won? You know,
yeah. Most people don't like. Yeah, name one good manager going to a team that really needs rebuilding.
Right. City, I think is.
But the key is now Klopp is out, Ancelotti is out. I would think we're thinking Pep is out. So now the number of really top managers is dwindling. And Man U is still the type of club that's not they're not Abramovich, where they're just going to sell their or kick their coach out after, you know, a couple months. So
it's all right. Seedorf and Inzaghi are still around.
That's true. So then, I think there were also some FA Cup games. Let's see if we can get.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the biggest FA Cup.
Oh, wait. What am I talking about? I totally skipped over the Everton-Chelsea game. Oh my God.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Nothing to talk about there.
Okay. So this game, I mean, it was in a weird way big because Everton is a decent team that's underperforming. Chelsea is clearly underperforming, but nobody knows who they are. I mean, Hiddink, I guess, has helped, but I guess it's not toxic anymore, but... Everton goes up on two pretty good goals. Well, okay, the second goal was good. The first goal was an own goal, but they're up 2-0. In the span of 5 minutes, I believe, Chelsea scores two again, and you're like, oh, shit. Now, I mean, I don't know how Everton gives up this lead. Finally, in the 90th, Maurice Fune scores a header. Or no, it wasn't a header. It was like a back flick or something. It was kind of a ridiculous goal.
Funes Mori.
Funes Mori, yeah.
Morris Fune.
I still don't, where's he from? Like, what kind of name is that? I want to say
like Argentina or something. Somewhere.
While I'm looking,
no one cares about.
You're right, he is from Argentina.
Look at that.
Yeah, nobody cares about Argentina.
I knew that, I wasn't a guess.
Wow, I've never heard a name like that. But anyway.
He's starting alongside Messi.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so they score. You're like, this is done. He goes nuts. I think he got a yellow card for a celebration, actually. 90th minute, you think it's done. Apparently, there's 7 freaking minutes of stoppage time. 97th minute, Terry scores an offsides.
Awesome strike, Sean.
Offsides. That shit was offsides. So some people were talking about it. I was listening to ESPN FC like I normally do, and they were saying they think that the ref... So Oscar flicked it on, and the flick on was what led Terry to getting the goal, and maybe the ref didn't see the flick on, but it's so shitty. I mean, Everton needed the win. I mean, they're in the bottom half now, and they're clearly good enough to be in the top half.
They played better, too. They had more chances throughout the game.
They were clearly the better team, and honestly, I think they could maybe even be top five with the, you know, the strikers they have. But now they're still in 11th. It's a draw for Chelsea. It was at Stamford Bridge. It would have been a huge win, which Everton has not done well at Stamford Bridge in terms of wins. They can draw a lot, but it was clearly offsides. I mean, if you look at it, it wasn't controversial. It was clearly offsides. The refs got it wrong, but what are you going to do? Shit happens. Gus Hiddink even admitted at the end in the after-game or post-game press conference that it was offsides. But he said it, rightly so. He said, you know, these things even out. You know, you get one offsides goal some other time. They're
it's
probably going
to
have an
offside
goal. It is. But I feel like usually it evens out somewhere. But it's still really disappointing that they drew that game that they clearly should have won. But either way, they shouldn't have let them get back in the game with those two goals. The second goal was a huge deflection. I mean, whatever. Disappointing, but I guess... I don't know, decent for Chelsea? This is kind of a decent draw?
Yeah.
It showed that they fought back.
They did. It was at home, though.
When would you ever say that Chelsea was the underdog at home?
I think had this been earlier in the year, I don't think they would have come back. I don't think they would have had the
under
energy.
Mourinho, yeah. Nobody wanted to play for Mourinho at some point for whatever reason. So
I think if they had gone down 2-0 early on, that would have been the end for
them. Yeah, I agree. So I guess it shows something, but still, it's disappointing for Everton fans like myself.
So yeah, the FA Cup games. Not, I mean, too many. They're still pretty early on in the cup ties. So I would say probably one of the biggest games was the Leicester-Tottenham game.
Yeah.
That ended – Tottenham ended up winning. Granted, Mahrez and Vardy didn't start. So it was like they're clearly trying to do well in the Premier League, where you would think normally Leicester would actually want to try to do good in the FA Cup.
Yeah, but if you're in this position, I don't know why your focus should only be the league.
I mean, it makes sense.
I don't know. See, I could argue differently. I mean, does Leicester really have I mean, they obviously think they do, but – Do they have a legitimate shot of winning the Premier League?
We've been saying it.
I mean, they're tied for first, but I mean, I still don't. So
you can't say they don't have a shot at Europe this year, like this. You can't say that. They have a better shot.
They have a shot at Europe, but they don't have a great shot at winning it.
Who cares?
And
who cares
for a club like that? You shouldn't just not play your players for the FA Cup.
You much rather go for European championships than you do for
okay. So say FA Cup. Say Leicester gets like second or third this year.
Yeah,
there's a very good chance next year they could get relegated.
Who cares? Champions League is going to bring them so much money.
Just as good as a Premier League.
Finishing second or third is going to bring them much better players in the transfer market. Right. It's bringing them a lot of money. Champions League is a ridiculous amount of money.
I think they could get your last Europa or last champ spot, but to say that they're still a favorite to win the title, it's definitely not.
Who cares? Either way, Europe competition is far more profitable than winning the FA
anyway,
Cup.
Anyway, so they got knocked out of the FA
and
Cup.
And by the way, they still have to play, well, we'll say Liverpool won, so they would still have to play Liverpool or somebody if they want to win that title. So it's not like it'd be over once they beat Tottenham.
Yeah, no, that's true. Anyway, that was really the big game. Liverpool got a win over Exeter City after
Exeter.
Hey, they drew them the first time.
Yeah, they did. That replay was important.
You know, Liverpool not playing a lot of their guys. Some of them. I mean, Benteke is getting a lot of playing time in the
it's
cup.
It's crazy how little he's played overall.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know who's actually good at Liverpool and who sucks, but yeah, I mean, who scored the goals? I guess Teixeira. Is that how you pronounce it there? I feel like...
Yeah, I should know this because he's Portuguese at that.
Joe Allen got a goal. And so, I don't know. I mean, I guess they won, but it's Exeter.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, there's a couple big games this weekend. Again, I mean, every game... I mean, this is where it comes into play, too. I mean, obviously, every game is big for, like, Arsenal and Man City and everything, but... Literally every game is big for Leicester because they just drew to Aston Villa. And I mean, any team can slip up to Aston Villa, but Leicester, again, their quality is not overall squad is nowhere near as good as these top clubs. I mean, every game is literally a game they have to play their best. Otherwise, they won't get any points.
I agree, but come on, man.
Like, Man
Where
U
at?
Has played like absolute donkey poo.
At what point in the season can you stop saying that?
The 37th game.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, with a month left. If there's like, I'd say less than 10 games left and they're still in the top
but
three.
But no one, like, they're tied at the top. And it's 22 games.
Yeah, but
I don't think their goal differential
isn't even in the top four or five.
But they've lost less games than any other team in the league.
Right, but the point
is they're
only
three behind Arsenal.
The point is that the way I look at it, you can't win a league by drawing every game. Most teams, it's about wins and about, you know, I mean, losses, you're going to have a few, but if you draw consistently, not good. I mean, it is, but it's not.
Arsenal and Man City have 13 wins apiece. Leicester City has 12 wins. I agree. I don't think they're favorites to win. You're right. They still don't have a deep enough squad. But the fact that they're still tied for first at this point in the season, I mean, I think they can get
champions. I mean, for a team that's tied for first, they have the fifth best goal differential.
No, fourth best, right? Yeah. Cause
no, fourth best, sorry.
First is City, then...
So
Tottenham,
Arsenal, City,
Arsenal
and Tottenham have a, I would seven goals difference between fourth and them. I mean,
it's still there's no reason why they should be doing what they're doing, and obviously
Vardy and Mahrez
are still out, but it's crazy. I don't think they're going to win the league, but I think they can get Europe. Because as dumb as it sounds, who's going to take their place?
Yeah,
Like Tottenham, maybe?
I mean, honestly, again, we talk about this a lot most weeks just because they're up there. Fourth or fifth, I think, would be very good for them, and I think that's more of an accurate spot of where they'll end up. But anyway, so we'll see what happens. I mean, this weekend, again, they have Stoke. So, I mean, honestly, I like Stoke more than I like Leicester in terms of, like, overall squad. Stoke is much more of a compact team in terms of not allowing goals, and this year anyway. So that'll be a big game. I mean, again, Leicester has to win consistently. Again, every team does too, but Leicester has to. I mean, it's, I feel like there's so much pressure on them now in a way where there isn't, but there is, because everyone's talking about them. You know, if they don't, you know, if they slip up, then they're gonna.
But I will say that's good and bad, because I think sometimes City and Arsenal feel like, oh, we'll probably win this game, and they don't play as well.
Right.
It's good and bad, yeah. But the problem is, the more you strain your players, the more depth shows because you can't keep up.
Yeah.
And then, but Sunday it should be a big game. It's Arsenal Chelsea. I don't know if it's a big game. Honestly, I don't know what to think of Chelsea anymore. It's at the Emirates,
but it's still
Arsenal.
A result Arsenal has to get.
Yeah, no, right. No.
Exactly, it's a good game for Leicester, because Leicester's looking at it like, oh, great, Arsenal could potentially lose this or draw.
Oh, man, and if Leicester's sole like top after this game, it'll be really funny.
I mean, we're still at the halfway point, right?
We're a little past the halfway point.
Like a week or two past.
No, let's be honest, though. Leicester, no one ever, even after they started winning the games like maybe a quarter of the way through the season, everyone's like, no, winter, they're not going to be there. And now they're there at the winter break. They're still top, tied. I don't know. Well, it'll be the season for Leicester. Either way, this is going to be one of those like stories that are told if you're a Leicester fan, all 15 of you. But yeah, that'll do it for the first half. We will catch you after the break.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons and Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Welcome back to the second half. So we're going to go straight into our topic. And the topic for the day is, which is more difficult to win? Champions League or some kind of tournament style league versus the league title? So obviously, we're going to make some assumptions. You know, we're using Champions League as because that's like the hardest competition tournament style. And then for leagues, let's just assume it's a competitive league, like not some league you can just totally run away with. So assuming it's difficult to win either one, which one do you think overall is harder to win?
League.
What do you say, Dave?
I think like a international tournament is harder.
I think
it depends on what teams you're looking at too. I mean, like that, for Man U, I would, or like Man City, I mean, I would say Champs League is definitely much harder because they haven't won it in a long, you know, longer period. I mean, for Milan, they can't win the league title. So in the last title, did they win a league title before the Champs?
Yeah,
they did. Okay. So it might be different for a team like Milan where, you know, they haven't really the past few years been up there. So, you know, in the league just is really competitive. So it might be a little bit different for a team like that. But I mean, Champs League, except for Barcelona, and Sean can give his take on that, which is harder because recently I think they've done better in Champs League. Maybe not.
No.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Barcelona wins every year. So it's okay.
It doesn't matter.
But they also win Champs League a lot of years. So, you know, but I think any Europa Champs League, even like in like the U.S., like the Cup, it is a lot harder to win than a league when you're playing different countries and different.
Yeah, so why do you think it's harder?
Just because, there's more variety of the game. So, you know, you go into a game and you're not playing the team that you've been accustomed to playing.
Yeah.
So that obviously I think is huge, you know, especially if you're an English team and you're going to play these little maestros from Spain. You're not expecting the same football. I mean, you're expecting it, but you're still not ready for it.
So that's a big deal. So a lot of people talk about this. So a lot of people talk about how the Premier League is the most, I don't know, for lack of a better word, athletic, like most energetic. And a lot of players agree you have to get adjusted to how much you run. But recently, Spain has really been dominating a lot of the European play. And many people have said one difference is Spain is a lot more tactical. So even if you run at them, it doesn't matter. If you play around them, it doesn't. Yeah. And so some people have been saying that lately. I forgot who it was. One of the English commentators who has played in the Premier League had said, sometimes it feels like English teams are chickens with their heads cut off, where they're just running at the ball, but they can't get the ball because other teams are playing around them. But that's an important point because, you know, it's kind of evened out because now it's not like if you go to the Bundesliga, every player is from Germany. But, you know, you have Serie A, you know, you have these Italian teams that are supposed to be defensive. You have athletic teams in Premier League, you know, you have tactical teams in Spain. So I think different styles definitely play into
So for the big clubs who come in later on, like your Barcelona's, Madrid's, you know, Juve's, whatever, Bayern Munich's, it takes 13 games to win Champions League, right? And you don't have to win all of those games because you could draw, since it's over two legs, most of the things. And also since you have group stages, you don't have to win every single group stage game, and you can get second place and still move on. So you don't even have to win all of those games versus a 38-game season.
Right. So
which, to your point, what you were saying earlier is that you have to be on your game almost every time to win something like the Premier League or Italy this year, or even Spain. Like, the top three clubs cannot drop points in Spain because one slip up basically means you're not going to get first place
in Spain, maybe, but in other leagues, in a weird way, even is the more competitive you get, you realize it only becomes competitive when top teams are losing or doing poorly against lower.
Sure,
teams.
But look, Leicester,
both of them slipped up.
I mean,
and so technically you can't, but you kind of can. Because if they were winning every game, it wouldn't have mattered.
I mean, you really only have to win like 10 games in Champs League to win it, right? So you have group stage, right, which is six games. Four of those games are probably not against good teams. At least two of those games is not against a good team because of the way they seed things, right?
But then you could argue that, do you think the bottom half of any league is really that great? Then you would say 20 games out of the.
I mean, top teams are struggling against bottom teams in all these leagues.
And so this is one thing that really complicates it. So, for example, right now, you would have to say it's harder to win Champs League only because the difference between the top couple teams like Madrid, Barcelona, and Munich and the rest is pretty significant. So, for example,
yeah, I mean, you have to beat the best team in the world in order to get there. Unless
and so
you
that's
are
the argument
best
for Champions
team,
League is that you have to, and that's why I will say I'm pretty sure most clubs covet European titles more because it's less likely. Like, I mean, you know, you probably have you definitely have more league titles than European championships, unless you're like Liverpool, where somehow they haven't won the league in forever, but. I think, you know, in days past, it was a little more even. You know, right now, you just expect the top four probably going to include Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Bayern Munich. I don't think it was always like that. And so because of that separation that happens, now it's a little harder to say. But if the teams were more even, you might say, I mean, it's really a difference between depth and how good of a team you are. Because Champions League is kind of unpredictable. Any team could win on a certain day. But in the league, you have to have depth. But you might not have the best starting 11 because if you have a deeper squad, you might be able to last longer. Like, look at Leicester. They might have a good squad with Vardy and Mahrez, but once they're out, you see a completely different team because they just can't last with the big teams.
I mean, Champions League is more tournament-based. So in that terms of sense, it would technically, I think, be harder than the league. I mean, league is more just an accumulation of points, which you know, the tournament style, especially once you get in the knockout range, is two games. I mean, if you play bad, really bad, one game, you're out. You know, and against Barcelona, Madrid, any of these better, I'd say, top eight teams that you're going to be playing in this last few rounds, I mean, that can very well happen where you just either A, have an injury or a couple injuries, or B, just don't show up because you're more concentrated on the league or something. Or you've been, you know, working your butt off in the league, and next thing you know, it's tournament based. So that's would be one of my arguments. Too,
I mean, to keep going behind that point, I think what is it? Did Liverpool beat City 4-1? It was a huge victory. Right?
I don't know the exact score, but they won pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. So they let's say by, it was I'd a significant difference. Barcelona beat Real Madrid 4-0. Munich beat Dortmund. What was it? 3-0, 4-0. Yeah. It was a big victory. All of those, if this was a two-legged tie, that's very difficult to come back. But then you look at the leagues, Madrid's still very high up, Dortmund is very high up, and City is very high up. Yeah. It's not like that one loss will kill them. But like you said, Rob, you have to do it the entire year in a way.
Yeah, I mean,
it's tough to say.
One of the huge arguments I'd argue about that, too, is that, you know, I mean, the race in France has been over for how long? I mean, the race in Germany was pretty much been over for a while.
Clearly, if you're Bayern Munich or PSG, it's harder to win Champions League.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is it may, you know, if these leagues weren't 18, 20, 22 teams deep or however long they are, you know, I think they narrowed it down to something they're not going to do, but you narrowed it down to like the top six and played them on a weekly basis, it would be harder. But, I mean, you're not playing the top six teams every week. You're playing teams that can barely field a solid, you know, 11 team.
I'm probably going to go with Dave. I still think for a lot of the reasons you said, I think a European title is harder because you're playing teams you're not used to. You're playing in countries you're not used to. You realize that fan bases are very different from country to country. I don't understand all the cultural differences, but my understanding is they are very different. And I think you have to be, in my opinion, actually, I think you have to show your best team every single day in Champions League, because if you lose badly one day, you're done. Whereas in the league, you can still kind of spread it out. But I think the difference, like we said, in the league, depth is way more important. If you're City, who can pull all the, I mean, yeah, we talked about their front three. They basically have four players, maybe five if you include Silva, who could all play in the front three and do decently. Whereas, you know, over the league, so if you pick up injuries, you can deal with that. Whereas, you know, Leicester, or forget it, Tottenham, you know, you have Harry Kane getting an injury, what are you going to do? So in the league, that's really difficult because it's very, I mean, every player is going to get an injury at some point. You'll get Aguero and stuff like that. So I'm still going to go on Champions League, particularly right now. But
Rob got paid. All right,
what about any other competition outside of Champions League?
What do you mean?
Any other cup?
Is your question
Champions League specifically or cup matches?
What about winning the FA Cup versus the league? It gets super complicated.
FA Cup too, though, man.
Oh, come on. You're talking about, you have to, like, the top teams pretty much have to play two or three big teams to win the FA Cup.
When's the last time a team, like, won the FA Cup, like, consistently? Like, Man U hasn't won the FA
That's
Cup
because
in
they
hours.
Don't field players in the FA Cup. They yeah, always play the, second it, string players.
So yeah, but you can't use that as a reason why it's not as hard.
But so this is the other side of the argument. It's like, okay, Champs League versus, let's say, Premier League and Serie A right now. And then the other side of the argument is, oh, which one's harder to win? FA Cup or the French League or the German League. You know what I mean? So there are always
easier versions to win. Man U got knocked out of the Capital One Cup in like the first week.
They didn't play
a lot of guys. They've been awful this year. But I mean, like, so I mean, you can't really use that.
Look at Arsenal's winning the FA Cup last year, right? They beat Aston Villa in the final, right? Who's in last now.
Right.
They beat Reading in the semifinals.
Right.
They beat United, which is the only team that they actually played.
Right.
They played Middlesbrough.
All right. So maybe like actual team quality is not harder, but it's still,
you played only one team that entire time.
But that's like saying, you know, France only has to play X, Y, and Z team who aren't good anyway. So there are some leagues that are easier. There are some cups that are easier. So we can only judge, I guess, the hardest ones, or we could do, which one do you think is easier to win, the FA Cup or the French League? Yeah. I mean, and it gets complicated
for any other team.
Well, exactly, the French league is really tough.
It's impossible
for any
to
other
win.
Team in the FA Cup. It's not easy for teams that aren't. Although, granted, Chelsea. I mean, I guess a lot of the big teams are already out of the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's
right?
What I mean.
So,
because they don't play anybody,
and it's
But again, you can't really use that. As
it gets complicated.
They just don't want to win it. Cause
nobody's asking. You know, is the B team better than?
But
this other
still,
team?
I mean, if Man U played like all their starters through the FA Cup, I think they'd still have a difficult time.
I mean, they still have to play.
They still play, like Rooney and in their cup games that they lose in. It's not like they're playing literally all youth squad. But, I mean, it's going to be different for every circumstance and cup tie. And
well, as usual, this debate goes
unresolved. You're both wrong. That's all that matters.
I think that'll do it for this week. Thanks for listening in. So, as usual, you can catch us. We are Kiss the Crest. You can find us on iTunes, so please rate and subscribe. Hopefully, you give us 5 stars or say whatever you feel like to tell us if there's something else you want to hear, you want to know about, if you want to hear about the Russian League.
Can agree that I'm right in this conversation. Yeah,
if you think Rob is right and...
Don't write in if you think I'm wrong, just if I'm right.
No, only there. You can also check us out on thecommentist.com. You can also find out some great podcasts such as The Unwind, Roll to Hit, Bearded Vegans, Prayer Hands, Emoji. We got a bunch of great stuff on there. But please check us out, and if you can, come back next week.
That'll Thanks.